Welcome, everyone. This is Glenda Dawson. You are watching Glenda's Dragon's Den. LD had what I call a mission today. Yes, I sent him out for groceries. Don't tell him I said that. We do give our secrets away every once in a while, but you know, and I'll get teased for it. Who cares? I do have a great person with us today, a guest, JP Alters. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Glenda. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure. So tell our audience about yourself and how you got to be where you are now.
So a bit about me. I'm a mum of three. So I have three big kids now. So I've got a 16-year-old son, 18-year-old daughter, and 20-year-old son. And they keep me busy. I'm sure anyone who has children knows, even when they're a certain age, that doesn't change. It literally never changes. You are always mum. Mm-hmm. I'm a qualified social worker. And I work currently, well, I split my week. Half my week I mentor students with learning disabilities and students who are neurodiverse. And the other half of the week I work with a homeless project and support clients who have issues with homelessness or who are at risk of homelessness within the community. Any spare time that I can grab, I've published two novels and two. I'm currently working on a sequel to one of my psychic voices. So I consider myself a debut author, though I'm still. New, I'm still a newbie and always learn, and not many people know me or my books, and I'm hoping that will change. So I natural thrillers. My first book was at Subterfuge, but because of feedback, I changed the name, worked the novel slightly, and I in August of this year as Psychic Voices.
Okay.
And the first of many in a series, I hope.
Okay, that's very good. So what made you write?
Well, so I'm not sure just by looking, but I'm actually half Jamaican and nearing 50 years old. Okay, so growing up, things were very different. Not used
Oh,
to
I'm
have
losing your audio, I would say.
here. Oh,
Yeah.
am I back?
Try it again.
Can you hear me?
I'm
Hello?
losing your audio. I'm losing your audio.
I'll
Okay.
come closer. So, does that help any at all?
Okay, try what you just said.
Can you hear me any better? No?
Now, you know what's happening? I'm seeing
What?
your mouth
Yeah.
and your words come first and the mouth goes second or vice versa. And then so it's cutting.
Lagging, yes. To suggest, I don't know. I could. You want me to try and see if
Sorry.
that helps? Do you want me to try from a different location?
Yeah, could you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem.
This recording, I'll put it all together. It's going to be good.
Okay. All right. See you in a second.
So, JP, we were talking about your life and your books. What made you write those books?
Well, I suppose it was a mixture of things, really, as probably with all authors. So childhood. So I'm half Jamaican, half English, and I was born in the 70s, in southeast London, in a not a very diverse area at that time. There was no diversity. Basically, our family was the diversity of that borough. And also that was reflected in the culture, the wider culture. So there was no one like me in the books that I read. I always liked to read from a very young age. I love to read. I love books. But I wasn't reading about anyone that was like me, that was like my dad, that had relationships like theirs, that was like the people that I knew, my aunties, uncles, cousins. And I kind of felt that absence a little bit. And then when I was doing my social work training, I was placed in the forensic team, and which I loved. But I realised that most of my caseload was from like black and minority ethnic groups, and that group was like overrepresented in mental health services. And so that was the other thing. And then COVID happened, and I really wanted to write. I really wanted to write. I was working as a social work line manager then, and it was a very stressful time for many people, and for many services as well. And yeah, I remember I would get up at 6. I would start writing, and I would walk the dogs after about an hour of writing, and any spare moment that I got, I was writing. And at the end of it, I had written a novel. It was an autobiographical novel, so it was a fictional novel, but it had some of my life experiences. And I went through the editing process, really loved it, and then decided actually this novel is not really for public consumption.
Those are our little secrets. Yep.
Yeah, we'll close that book and we'll shelf it. And so I think that was my practice. And I loved the experience, and it was a really cathartic experience, but it was really fun. It was genuinely fun, and it sort of like woke me up to my calling, if you like. So I knew that I wanted to, I always like to be helpful and to be of service. So, hence the job role. Because so I wanted my books, while they might have like a really dark element or a grisly or scary elements running through them, I still think that overall any story I write will probably have that element of hope, the recurrent themes of like love, being really important and making a difference, and family bonds strengthening people, and friendships strengthening people, and yeah, I'm a sucker for a happy ending. But no, I'm not giving anything away.
Well, you know, it's good to write or even talk to people and let them leave with a more positive energy vibration than they came in.
Definitely.
And that's the big thing. That's how we all heal. You know, you're called to write. You haven't written the book you're supposed to write yet. The book I feel that you're going to write, and it might start very shortly, is the true experiences that you had, so others can see that no matter where you come from, you know, you could be, I could be, you know, a Chinese person to move into an old same type of non-Chinese community, and your experience probably the same things, just you know, and we're all the same.
Yeah,
you know, when I arrived here from Cuba, all I knew was Spanish. And you know, so when my parents moved here in early 1970s, I had my difficulties. Because the language, and everybody's like looking at me, and I'm like, what did I do? Like, I'm a child. But so, you know, I feel that that is kind of healing to those that hear about it, that they're not the only ones, and that they could take that those experiences, turn it around, and look at you. You went into social work, right?
Yes.
To help others, and you turned it around into a more positive life for you, your family, your kids, and now writing. So they're all on Amazon, correct?
Yes, they're all on Amazon. Yeah, right.
And I will, you guys, whoever, whenever you see this, you'll find all the links in the description, and you'll find how to get to JP also. So, because I know people will have questions for you.
Oh, I hope so.
So tell us about the first book. You had said that you changed the name a little bit and all that. And what made you change the name?
Well, I do like to talk to, more aptly, I like to listen to my readers. So the feedback that I got was they liked the book overall, but the name was something that it just didn't gel with them, and it said something completely different to the actual book, like what the book was about. So I had thought that a psychic subterfuge was like a sort of catchy title for a book, and like it would make people think of like conspiracy and clairvoyance and psychics, but it didn't. It just confused the hell out of people. So we don't want that. Because you just, I suppose as a reader, you have a few minutes to browse. And if you look at a book title and you think, oh, that I don't understand, you just skip along to the next book. So that's why I changed it to Psychic Voices. Because I just thought it's more, just more explains what the book is about.
So what is the book about?
So the book, I tried to have like a diversity in the characters. So they're from different ethnic backgrounds. The book is I've set the book in a state-of-the-art psychiatric hospital. So it's a very posh place. It appears kind of like a spa, day spa or something. It's very posh. It's got grounds, Glenda. It's got grounds. Yeah, it's very swish. So the main character is a very angry and on purpose, not very nice young lady. She's been through the fostering system. She's someone who has suffered a lot. She lost her mum at 8, and so she and her mum was lovely and like a really strong part of her life and her security. So when she lost that and she was put into not very nice foster care environment, she lost everything basically. And she became a really defensive, very aggressive person. And so she, at the beginning of the novel, she is at her lowest ebb, mentally. She hears voices. She's a diagnosed schizophrenic, and she is sectioned to this hospital. So she's taken to this hospital. She's found by the police and taken to this hospital, and she can't leave. And when she's there, she meets some other patients who I would say open her eyes to friendship and what friendship can mean to her. And they also open her eyes to a potential conspiracy that's going on. But the question is, when you're diagnosed with schizophrenia, how can you trust what's real and what's not? Can you trust yourself, and can you trust those around you? And then I can't say what else.
No. That's enough. I mean, that sounds intriguing, and I am sure that readers are going to pick it up because they want to know what the conspiracy is.
She has a plucky mouth. I should warn you. Her name is Mary Jameson. She has a potty mouth.
Oh, wow.
She does.
That definitely will get more people to read it. So, now, when you were saying before, you have older kids now. All of mine, well, mine are, I have a son in his 30s, a daughter in her late 20s, and a son in his late 20s, 27. 27? Possibly 28. 28 now. He's just had his birthday in September, so
Oh,
and then
good.
after that we had his wedding, and it's just been like,
Oh, lovely.
wait, what year is it? So I understand about being a mom always. Now, how did they take that you were writing? Because I know my kids were, when I gave them the book, they were like, ooh, okay, mom is mom. Like, mom is not just mom. Mom is also like a
A
woman.
person.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they love it. They've been quite supportive and helpful. So, I have like a habit of, for the editing process, obviously, I'll go through the book myself. Then I'll pass to an editor and then it comes back to me and then I'll edit some more. I think, what the heck am I doing this for? Me too. Why am I putting myself through this? But yeah, and then when it's gone through like a proofreading stage again, another one, I like say the book, I read the book out loud. So either part of it I'll sort of walk with earphones or headphones in. And I'll go out walking and I'll put it in Word and I'll do the read aloud function. And then I'll keep stopping and editing as I walk along. And then the other thing is I'll read aloud. And sometimes they would sit and listen to me reading. They said that they quite like it because it reminds them of being really small and where I used to read to them every night at bedtime. So they quite like it. And when I do that, they really love it.
Good, good. That's
Yeah.
wonderful. Yes, my kids are, like I said, very supportive also, but it made them realize that I'm not just mom,
Yeah.
that I do have other facets, which was very interesting to me.
Were they proud? Mine were very proud, they always say.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They are. They're very proud of everything I do,
Oh.
and they're actually like amazed that I can do all this stuff. And I'm like, just do it. So, and I also started writing during COVID. I was thinking and thinking, and what should I do? Not should I do? What should I do? Not should I do? And then I wrote it. I did the first writing, and I just said, "Okay, read it quickly, people, because I plan to get this out by this date."
Oh,
So,
yeah,
because I self-published it, but
me too.
I wanted to have a deadline, because if you don't have a deadline, then it just sits there and
Yeah,
sits there and.
true, true,
And
true.
then you're, "Oh, I got time. Oh, I'm not in a hurry." And so this way, that was my first one. I'm supposed to write four others, and I'm working on them. It's just a little harder for some reason. I don't know why. And it could be because I'm out of COVID, and then there's so much to do
Yeah. Well, it and also it's a lot of it's time. It's a lot of time to and also it's free to upload your work, but to, have a really good polished product, like the book to be really good, something that you're proud of, it actually costs money because you have to pay for editing. You have to pay for like proofreading. You have to pay for the covers.
I was very lucky. My now daughter-in-law did the cover for me, so
Oh, yes, you are
yeah.
blessed. That was really lucky. I just saved.
She does a lot of my graphics, so she's
Oh,
a
that's so good.
yeah she's a graphic artist, so I am very blessed I have that taken care of.
Yeah, that is good.
And my partner, he's very good at catching my errors.
Oh.
So
Which there are none, obviously. There aren't any. He's got
aren't
no work to
any.
do.
I'm perfect. He's
Yeah,
just
that's it.
taking nap all the time. But no, I'm joking. He could proofread for me and suggest changes and stuff like that. So he did all the editing for me. So I was very blessed. But I have to do the main part. I do the main part, the whole book, and then I hand it over and say, I can't even see this anymore. I'm cross-eyed right now, so just take
Yeah.
it and
You always need that other set of hands. Actually, I do have one very, very kind friend, Carla. And she proofread like one of my novellas.
Right.
for me very, very kindly. And she said that she would be happy to proofread any future work. So I have got someone
Yeah.
who proofreads for me.
Yeah. At
Yeah.
least you know what? Sometimes a second set of eyes doesn't have to be a per se editor, but a second
Yeah.
set of eyes can
Yeah.
say, oh, you missed an N here.
I
The
know.
tone doesn't sound right or whatever. And then all you do is take those ideas and change it, and it does what it does. So now what other genres would you like to write in?
Well, I often dream stories. I don't know about you. I think that's quite a common thing. So I often dream like whole books as if they're movies, and I'll watch the movie and then I wake up at like 3 in the morning and I
Yeah, that's
quickly,
usually what happens 3 o'clock.
really, and then I quickly put it in notes in my phone. Like
Right.
there are all these like notes in my phone. No iCloud space. And so I, one of the stories, it was coming so, it was like I was dreaming, but I was awake, and it was coming so easily, like it was just flowing the whole thing. But because I didn't want to get distracted by the new shiny story, I
Right.
needed to finish. I've got so much in this book series that I've
Right.
already thought of and like dreamt some and written some and planned for, that I really feel like I want to see it out to fruition first and get this series complete and out there, and
Right.
then I can move on to, I suppose it's more of a science fiction
Nice.
book. Because the other story is like set kind of in the future. And yeah, so I suppose science fiction, and I also have like a half of a non-fiction book that I'm writing for students.
Okay, good.
So, but I don't know when I'll finish that. It's kind of just a love project.
Yes, one of those. I have one of those. It's just like you add, you subtract, you add, you
That's it.
subtract. But very good, very good. Now, some people will call that channeling, what you're dreaming and seeing full movies. Now, and especially since you're woken up around 3 o'clock in the morning, which is,
Oh, is that a special time?
yeah, they call that in US witchy hour,
Oh,
which
no, I've heard that. Here they say that, the witching hour. They say
yeah,
that too.
that's like the time where your higher self, your spiritual team has been talking to you. They wake you up so you can remember. That's a very important point right there.
Oh.
And then normally, you're supposed to write it so you can remember. You have
Yeah.
it all set already in the phone. I'm not that at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't even look at my phone. So I usually have a pad next to me and I just write quick notes. But
Either or.
So, but that is very nice that you're actually sort of channeling the books, which is takes you to a whole new level of spiritual, whole new level of spirituality, really. Because you're connecting to your higher self, you're connecting to your guides, you're connecting to your protective team, and you're connecting to what, God or goddess or whatever, that higher power. It's very good. Very
Oh, well,
good.
thank you. Well, let's
Yeah.
hope it is a higher power guiding me. I really like that idea. That's lovely.
It is a higher power because you wouldn't come up with such lovely books and such lovely stories if it wasn't.
Oh, thank you so
Oh,
much. Thank you.
you're welcome. Welcome. So, once in now, are you going to bring this writing into your actual day-to-day work?
Into my day.
Today work, like into your social work and stuff like that.
So, I mean, some of my students, some of the people that I work with, they know that I've written a book and published. I'm quite careful to sort of keep it separate at the moment. But I think for the work I do with the homeless project, I think it might be a good idea to share it with them. They have like a newsletter, and I suppose in the natural course of things, they usually meet new members of staff, of which I'm one. So I suppose it would be like come under what do you like to do in your spare time? Well, I like to write and publish books. P.S. Please buy
Lord. Well, it's good that you have all those experiences that can maybe at some point also bring you into writing about your experiences as a social worker, not only for other social workers, so they could understand that you basically go through the same things, but also for the people that you're helping, so they can see that there is at some point a light at the end of that tunnel that can change things around for them.
Well, I hope so. I really do hope so. And the other thing is, I hope that the books, like Psychic Voices in particular, help to like spread empathy. Because sometimes what people haven't experienced themselves, they can't imagine. Like they might just see the outside Mary Jameson, see her aggression, see her like unkindness to others, and they might just judge or they might not understand where she's coming from. So the beginning of the book, I spent quite a long time like being really descriptive and showing her normal like attitudes and reactions. And I like to think that I built quite a strong picture and gave the reader a really good basis, like a background for why she is the way she is. And hopefully the feedback that I've got so far is that they like her in the end. But at the beginning, not so much.
Well, but it's true. People do fear what they don't know about, what they don't
Absolutely.
understand, and they judge before they even give the person or the situation a chance. You know,
True.
and there's so many people that get mislabeled. So many people that just walk into a place, and because you don't have the right color tie, for example, you're already like, oh my God, and it's a shame because that's not what the insider of a person is about.
Yeah,
So
definitely.
that's why these books are very important. And I'm hoping that you get a lot of readers and a lot of buyers, because
Oh, thank you.
I really believe that this needs to be spread, that for, like you said, empathy, so people can
Yes.
understand that the package, the book cover isn't exactly
Yeah. Oh,
what
thank you
the book
so
is about.
much.
So,
Thank you, Glenda.
oh, you're welcome. Now, how do you juggle all this? Because I know when I had my kids that are in the same age you had, you have yours. Oh my God, I couldn't even think of typing. Never mind. Every single time I would sit down, Mom, I need a
Yeah,
ride
I need a
here.
lift. It's the
Yes,
worst. I need
it's
a
a
lift.
lift. Yes.
Mum, I'm late for work. Mum, I'm late for college. Mum, can you give me a lift? I'm going to this nightclub. What? I'm too old. I can't. I'm tired. Oh dear, I
It's
know.
true. It's true.
It's a busy time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe it's my form of escapism. Like this is my like I don't really I'll have like the odd glass of wine or whatever, but I don't really drink. I don't really go to pubs and nightclub. Well, I'm like 48, what the heck? They wouldn't even let me in. They wouldn't let me
Oh, I'm sure
in.
these days they'll let you in. They things have changed,
Yeah,
but
I mean it's like I go for like walks in the country or maybe along the beach. I like to be in nature, but if I'm not in nature and with the kids, with friends, then I'm writing, and it's just what I love to do really, and so I just find the time. There's always there can always be time for things that bring you joy. I think it's really important to prioritize finding time to do things that bring you joy in life. Because it's those small moments that like fill up your whole days and weeks and months. So if you have lots of little pockets of joyful moments, then your overall happiness is increased. So yeah, so I just always find the time, no matter what.
Good. It's full of self-love. That is actually what it is, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, loving yourself enough to don't not forget yourself, to give yourself that appointment also, right?
Yes. And I know that's really difficult because also as mums, we have like a tendency to put our own needs behind. So I will still probably do that. Like if I'm honest, if I want to sit down and do some writing, but one of the kids says, "Mum, I need a lift. Like my bus isn't coming." We live in the countryside, so sometimes the bus doesn't come or whatever, and they know because of their phone, the apps. Then I will put my writing aside. But I just think, for the most part, if I have in my mind like time carved out specifically for writing, when I know they don't get up early. They do not get up early. They're not going to disturb me. And 6:30 in the morning, they are not coming down to disturb me. I'm home free. I'm safe.
You barely see them 5 minutes before the bus supposed
That's it.
to
I'm safe. I'm fine. So maybe my answer should be strategic planning.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's
Strategic.
I say it as making an appointment for yourself. You know,
That's
you
right.
keep all your doctor's appointments, all your work appointments, everything else appointments. So you put yourself in the appointment book.
Very true.
Even if I tell people, even if it's 10 minutes of just being in a room in silence.
Yeah.
I used to do that when mine were really young. I would actually put a sign on the bathroom door, knock and I'll kill you. Because I just wanted to be in a small room, lights down, maybe a candle or two, and just like that would be my moment where I could get grounded, get back to me, and then okay, as soon as I open that door, I know it's gonna be a rush of everything, but and they always thought it was funny because you know at first they would do it on purpose. You didn't kill me.
Oh, yet.
But they understood. Yes, that's what I used to say. I used to say I spared you. That was the one chance you had.
I'm going to use that one. Well.
We have to be inventive, right? Inventive different ways. So I am hearing that you're working on different things, and I cannot wait to see those come out.
Oh, thank
And you'll have to come back when they're actually published, so you could
you.
tell us
Love
more
to.
about it and explain how you finally got there, because
It's a long process. Well, I'm editing the sequel at the moment. It's called Psychic Echoes. And I had even more fun writing this book, and there are some parts in it that scared me so much that I went downstairs to my teenage son. I was like, "Son, do you want to come and watch a film with mommy?" I really hope that you enjoy it as much
I'm
as would have
sure
come
we
now.
will. I'm sure everyone who purchases will, and I'm sure they'll tell us about it. Well, it's almost time,
Yes.
but I thank you. Please hold on for a second. I want to thank everyone that has been listening or watching us, and I just want to say we love you. We send many blessings, and as always, see you next week. Bye. Hold on.